Hallelujah. Nothing like worship. Worshiping God. Hallelujah. I want you to look with me in the book of John. Hallelujah. Glad that you're excited. Hallelujah. I usually try to wake the people up. There's always somebody asleep. By reading something that I call from the Jones file. These are announcements taken from church bulletins. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Thursday night, potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double door at the side entrance. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. The senior choir invites any member of the congregation who enjoys singing to join the choir. Please join us as we show our support for Amy and Alan in preparing for the girth of their first child. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. All right. John chapter 1, verse 32. I'd like further like to get you awake by having you to stand. You're supposed to go to sleep during the preaching and not before. Hallelujah. And I know it's biblical to go to sleep on a preacher. Acts chapter 20, a man went to sleep on Paul, but he died. You could die if you go to sleep on a preacher. And Paul went down and raised him up. I don't know if I'd have done that. Serves you right. You shouldn't have gone to sleep. But Paul raised him up. And then he preached 6 more hours. As if to say, you can't even die and get out of my sermons. Amen. Now I tell you, that little word amen is very important. Because the more you say amen, the faster I preach. And the faster I preach, the sooner we get out of here. So we're going to see whose fault it is if I preach 2 hours. Amen. All right, let's look. John 1, 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I want to preach on an interesting subject this morning. It's called the pigeon religion. Pigeon religion. Would you pray with me that God will bless the message? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your blessings and we thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. We just pray that this service would be a mighty, mighty move of God to begin this revival, that we would see the glory of God, that we would see people hungry. My desire more than anything else, Lord, as I preach around this country, is to see people hungry for God. Oh, Lord Jesus, let them be as hungry as that Romanian church I preached in up in Portland, Oregon. Oh, God, let them be hungry for God as they were in Mexico when 161 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that week's time that I was there. Let them be hungry for God. Oh, Jesus, like they were this summer in Belize. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that they'll be hungry for God like they were in Peru. Oh, Father, move upon people. Stir up the hunger of your people, Lord Jesus. We've got to have hungry people. If we're going to have a move of God, we've got to get back to hungering and thirsting after your righteousness. I believe you, Lord Jesus, to help this message this morning and help me to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is one of the most amazing things that we find in this scripture, that a dove lit upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ. And if you don't don't realize how amazing that is. This is probably a turtle dove being found over in Israel. They're very common, mostly turtle doves. And a turtle dove would never, ever light up on anybody's shoulder. That would never happen. And this turtle dove lighting upon the shoulder of Jesus had to be an amazing sight of its own. The turtle dove is so sensitive that no one at that time could probably ever remember seeing a dove do that. Turtle doves are too easily disturbed to abide anywhere for very long. Years ago, a British couple, a missionary couple, went to Israel, and they got them an apartment in Jerusalem, I believe it was, and they moved in, and a dove came, and under the eaves of that house, that dove made its nest. And they thought it was just a symbol of their entire ministry, coming to Jerusalem, being a missionary, and a dove coming to live under the eaves of their house. And then they noticed something. Every time they would drop a book or they would make a noise, the turtle dove would leave and then come back. Every time they would raise their voice, the turtle dove would leave. And finally the wife said, "Oh, I hope the turtle dove will not leave us, because it's so symbolic. I'd hate to see it leave because of the noise that we're making." And the missionary reflected. He said, "Well, one or two things have to happen. Either the dove will leave, or we'll have to change." Either the dove will leave, or we will have to change. I believe that's where we are in America. I believe that's where we are in our churches. When we look at our churches, we've got to become sensitive to the move of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, we want the Holy Spirit to adapt to us, to be available at our beck or call. And actually, the opposite has to occur. We have to adapt to the Spirit. We have to learn to be sensitive to Him. We have to make sure that His presence is with us. Hallelujah. By way of introduction, I want to read some things from R.T. Kendall's book. His book is called The Sensitivity of the Spirit. Not sensitivity to the Spirit, but sensitivity of the Spirit. He did a study about the dove and its cousin, the pigeon. Both the turtle dove and pigeon were acceptable as a sacrifice in the Bible. In Leviticus chapter 12, verse number 8, a person could choose a pigeon or could choose a dove. Luke chapter 2, verse 24, we're not sure exactly what the parents of Jesus chose, but it very well could have been the dove at that particular time. They both are from the same family. However, there's a vast difference between the pigeon and the dove. Number one, turtle doves never fight. Pigeons fight all the time. Number two, turtle doves are quiet, but pigeons are noisy. They're belligerent. Turtle doves are afraid of people. Pigeons are not. Turtle doves are not territorial. Pigeons will bully one another for a place to perch. If a pigeon wants to sit somewhere, it'll move the other pigeon out of the way to make sure it's on that perch. The dove will never do that. Turtle doves cannot be trained or domesticated, but pigeons can. Turtle doves will never return to a cage once they're set free, but pigeons will. You can take a pigeon and take him to New York City in a cage, and you can turn him loose in the midst of all the hustle and the bustle, and the pigeon will come right back to its cage. You take a dove to New York City, and all of the traffic and all the noise and all the people and all the pedestrians and all of that going on, but you'll never see the dove again. Cannot be domesticated. Turtle doves have only one mate, but pigeons will have more than one mate. Those are some differences between the dove and the pigeon. And the reason I bring all this out is that sadly, I believe that we've settled for pigeon religion. We do not heed Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, which says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." So what is pigeon religion? First of all, pigeon religion is no longer guided by the Holy Spirit. It is no longer guided by the Holy Spirit. It is learned behavior. Pigeon religion is learned behavior. Too many preachers, including TV evangelists, know how to preach and be superstars, but they've learned what Christianity is supposed to be, and they're not listening what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Today's pigeon preachers don't want, and I'll just take some liberty with that word, today's pigeon preachers don't want to offend anyone. They will go out of their way to make sure they don't offend Muslims, Hindus, or Buddhists. After all, we want all the pigeons to flock to us. However, the dove of the Spirit cannot draw near while we're tending to the pigeons. We get more excited about the noise of the pigeons than the presence of the dove. Pigeons are likely to get noisy, be disruptive, be cantankerous, and demand their own way, but somehow that's just individualism, we say. We've got to keep the people happy. Some churches, it's been so long since the dove was present that he really isn't missed anymore. Life goes on without his gentle presence, and the dove cannot remain. There is no shoulder to light on. We need to return to a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We need to hear his voice. We need to know what the Spirit is saying. We need to know when he's talking to us. Hallelujah. I'm trying more and more to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It'll cost you. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you moments that you think that you want to keep for yourself. It'll cost you time on your knees. When you start being sensitive to the Spirit, living in the presence of the Spirit, it's a whole new life. But it's a blessed life. It's a wonderful life. I was at the inauguration of my friend Gary Jones, I guess you could call it that, the inauguration service. Gary Jones was recently elected, the first elected Anglo, as the superintendent of the Gulf Latin District. And he's a personal friend of mine. We were taken out to be shot in Nicaragua together, so we go back when we were missionaries. And I was standing there, and I had a suit on that I hadn't worn in a while, and I reached in the pocket, and I found some bills in the pocket. All right, you love those times, you know. And I reached in that pocket, and I saw three bills, $50, two 20s and a 10. I said, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because that particular week, we needed $5,000. We needed a miracle. You see, we go all over the world, and we have to raise money for this and raise money for that, and we have to raise at least $60,000 just for our campaigns that we have, and then all the other things that you have, you know. And I was thinking, I was praying. I actually had already prayed, Lord, I've got to have a $5,000 miracle this week. And I said, praise God, there's 50 of it. Oh, you've been there, though. When the Lord said, no, that's not for you. You put it in the offering. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I put it in the offering. I said, Lord, if anybody ever needed a hundredfold return, I need it. Hallelujah. I went to the next mission service. It was a mission service on a Sunday. And they took up an offering for me. They didn't make a big pull. I might have been the pill, but they didn't make a big pull. And took up the offering. And after the service that night, the pastor gave me the offering. It was $5,100. I don't believe that would have happened without me being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I have a big old Strong's Concordance. How many of you know what a Strong's Concordance is? I probably should have brought it up here just to demonstrate. It's a big book. And it's got every word in the Bible. Everybody ought to have one. I assume that every Christian has one, that everybody has one. And it also has a CD in the back. And I was preparing to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And you don't carry much luggage these days when you fly. You can only have two suitcases, 50 pounds each. And so I put some of those Strong's Concordances in because I believe everybody ought to have one. And I put them in, and I didn't have room for one, so I just left one there. And something said, take it. I already had everything packed, and I thought that was silly. But you have to learn to live by the nudge. So I took it, and I put it in the car, and I went on to the airport, got everything checked in, got my luggage checked in, went and parked my car, and I had a carry-on plus a briefcase, and there was that big old Strong's Concordance. I had no place to put it. I said, I'm not taking that. Besides, they won't let me on with three items. But something said, take it. So I took it. And I walked through the security. And the only thing the guy said about the big book was, I hope that your trip is shorter than that book. And And I didn't even like the place. The church had already arranged where I was going in Baton Rouge. They'd already arranged the flight, and they had me on a seat. Now, I don't like window seats anymore. When you get older, you need to get out more. And so I had a different, I had them put me in a different place. And I had the first class seat on that puddle hopper. It was American Eagle. I had a first class seat. I had the exit row. That's first class, you know, because it's got more room than the rest of them. And I sat down in that outside seat, and six soldiers from Iraq on a 15-day leave came on that plane. One was a sergeant sat right down beside me, and I began to talk to him. He found out I was teaching in a Bible college, and he said, "Well, you know, I pray. I pray to God, I pray to the Father." He said, "But how do you pray to that Holy Spirit?" That was a good question. I taught the person the work of the Holy Spirit for many years at Southwestern. I taught Acts and Corinthians. I taught Pentecostal doctrines. And I've written a book on the Holy Spirit. And so I began to talk to him. We had an hour and 10 minutes of Bible study. And I said, "Do you know Psalm 91? He said, "I do." He took off his coat and he showed me Psalm 91. It was strapped around his arm. When you're in danger, you want all the protection you can get. And Psalm 91 is a protection psalm. And he had written it out and he had it strapped around his arm. I said, "Well, do you know Isaiah 54:17? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper." I said, "That's the one God gave me the night before they took me out to shoot me in Nicaragua." He said, "I need that. I need that verse." And he reached under and he got his Bible out. A little small Bible. And I knew he was a Bible scholar when he started looking for Isaiah 54:17 in the book of Joel. And so I helped him find it. And he underlined it. And I said, "Let me see your Bible." I looked at his Bible and I said, "This Bible doesn't have a concordance." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, I brought one for you today. It's in the compartment above." And I also gave him one of my books. I just happened to have one of those on Be Filled with the Spirit. You see, people who want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, they do strange things. They do strange things. I stopped on the side, just stopped at a service station the other day, just because I felt like God wanted me to. Went in and talked to a woman about Jesus. Her little boy was there, and I gave her one of my books. We have got to get back to the place that we hear from God. We've got to get back to hear from God. But we're so caught up with the excitement and all this other stuff that goes with church that I think that we've settled for pigeon religion. Pigeon religion is the accepted norm. Man says, "Well, this is what church is all about." You see, we confuse noise and excitement with the glory of God. I'm sitting on a platform in India. 2,000 people were in front of me. Pastor had invited me. They had an outdoor meeting that night. And I was sitting up there, and they put these garlands around our neck and welcomed the American team. And it was so wonderful. Everything was wonderful and everything was going fine. Except all of a sudden in the middle of that, I heard the voice of God say to me another message that I'd never preached before, that I wasn't prepared to preach. I had a sermon. Oh, I always have a sermon. But there's a difference in a sermon and a message. Think about it. Anybody can preach a sermon. And I think a lot of churches have settled for sermons. A lot of pastors have settled for sermons. And they've not settled for what the dove wants. And so I heard God say to me, the scripture that he said to Martha, "Martha, didn't I say to you that if you would believe me, you would see the glory of God?" It was at the tomb of Lazarus. And she was saying, "Lord, but now he stinketh." And he said, "Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And the Lord said, "That's what you're preaching on." But I said, "Lord, I don't have a sermon on that." He said, "I do." Hallelujah. I was glad I had an interpreter. And I got up, and my Tamil interpreter would interpret as I would say the first line. And I was glad for an interpreter because I could think of the next line. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord gave me a thought that I'd never thought about before. You can believe to see God's glory. You know, I believe the glory of God is an inherent quality of God. That's part of the definition. But the other part of the definition is the glory of God is manifest. It's inherent, but it's manifested. The manifest glory of God is what we see. And I believe that we can believe for the manifest glory of God. I hadn't thought about that. To actually see God manifest himself in a place. And I said, God, that's what we want in the service. And I began to preach. I began to tell them, about Isaiah. You know, he saw the manifest glory of God and what happened to him. When you see the glory of God, you feel impure. You feel like you're unworthy. You feel like you're a sinner when in his presence. That night, I believe we did see the glory of God. We had people throwing away their crutches, healed by the power of God. Blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were unstopped. One young man from the States said, I have never, ever seen anything like this except on TV. I'm glad it just doesn't happen on TV. It happens when the glory of God comes down. I heard some people respond very positively when the pastor said something about this is not just a series of services, but we want to see God's, I don't know if you said God's glory, but you said we want to have a real move of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We get satisfied with just coming to church and just going through the form, just going through the ritual. And that's what church is supposed to be because we've got accustomed to it so long that we're in the category of pigeon religion. We want a move of God. Now, notice secondly with me, pigeon religion grieves the Holy Spirit. It's not something he's happy with. It's not something God is happy with. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted. This is what the dove religion is about. Hallelujah. You don't grieve the Holy Spirit by holding things in your heart, by holding things in your life, by having something against somebody, or doing something that's not right, or trying to get by with living as close to the world as you can and doing the things that you shouldn't be doing and watching things you shouldn't be watching and going to places you shouldn't be going to. I tell you, I can't discern Christians from non-Christians anymore. Christians drink and get drunk just like anybody else. I was at a place where there were Christians at a wedding where there were Christians getting drunk. Preacher's wife went out drunk. I don't know where we are these days. The students in my classes used to ask me about drinking. You know, we're having to go to other cultures, and I'm teaching these mission students about other cultures, and this would always come up about drinking. I said, you know, if you could walk through a den of rattlesnakes and not get bitten, would it be right for you to do it if there were people coming behind you who would and who would die? I was brought up in a family of drunkards. My dad was murdered when I was 3. I have 3 older brothers that became drunkards. I was drunk by the time I was 10 years of age. But a lady came by named Sister Sadie Johnson and asked my mother if she could take me to church because she wasn't satisfied with going to church in an empty vehicle. What would it be if everybody was not satisfied to go to church in an empty vehicle but would fill it up with children? Because Sister Sadie Johnson didn't know that she was inviting a future missionary to a church to get saved that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I've seen what drunkenness can do firsthand. I have a nephew in prison right this moment. I know what that life is all about. And people who are led by the dove are not making those kind of arguments. It's pigeon religion. Seeing how much of the world you can take on instead of how close to God you can get. we must be as sensitive as we can, because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. The last thing in the world that we want to do is grieve Him. The Spirit wants to be the center of what we do. We must check with Him. Bishop Festo Kivinge was in an argument with his wife, a bishop about to go preach. Was in an argument with his wife. And he slammed the door and God said to him, "You go back and you apologize to Mary." He said, "God, I've got to go preach." God said, "You go ahead, I'll stay here with Mary." Hallelujah. Pigeon religion, number three, does not satisfy. I don't know why people come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday without knowing what God is all about. Just settling for pigeon religion because it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't complete you. The only thing that's going to complete you is when you get so hungry for God that nothing else matters. Hallelujah. That He is the only thing that matters in your life. He's everything. He's everything that you're all about. It's not about making money. It's not about materialism. It's not about this life. It's about the life to come. The only way you're going to be satisfied as a Christian is when you finally become aware that you're settling for pigeon religion. I ask God wherever I go, "God, give me hungry people." Hungry people. People who are hungry for God. People are hungry for a move of God. We need to return to God. It was like the parents of Jesus who left Jesus a day's journey. It took them 3 days to get back to Him. It seems to always take longer to get back to where you were than it does to leave the place. Some of you can remember those good old days. You remember what it was like. You remember what God did for you in those times. We need to return. They had to return to Jerusalem. They had to return and find what they had lost. Do we need to find what we have lost in the assemblies of God? Paul said, "Be filled with the Spirit," Ephesians 5:18, but that's not really what he said. That's what your King James says. But the original verb is pleto, which means being filled. It's a constant process. It has to constantly happen. Being filled with the Spirit one time, speaking in tongues way back when, does not mean you're filled with the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit because you spoke in tongues one time. You're filled with the Spirit because you have a continuous flow of the Spirit. It's a being filled with the Spirit. It's constantly overflowing in your life. You're constantly being touched by the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's a continuous flow. Pigeon people don't have that kind of understanding. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit." That actually means, as other translations say, live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. God is so interested in getting people close to Him. Close to Him. When we were in the Philippines last year, there was a lady that came and she didn't know a thing about Jesus. She got saved. I don't know if she got saved the same night that God baptized her or not before, but she got saved. And the very first time I laid my hands upon her, the power of God hit her. And you've heard of this happening, but it just literally took her up and slung her down, speaking in tongues. And she was just speaking in tongues there on the floor, just speaking in tongues. And just under the power of God, just shaking all over. And then she jumped up. She was scared. She'd never had this happen before in her life. Didn't know what it was. And she came running to the front, and she grabbed a hold of my legs, and she wouldn't let go. And the young people that were with me, they came and they pried her loose and took her over to one side and started talking to her and helping her. She was just quivering, shaking under the power of God. And we never saw her again. Because she went home and went into eternity 3 days later. What if we hadn't gone to Philippines? What if we hadn't talked about Jesus? What if... And the thing that's so amazing to me is that God knew He was going to take her. And he said, I want you to be as close to me as you possibly can before you get there. I want you to be as full of me as you can before you get there. I'm afraid some people settling for pigeon religion may miss out. If you can't live close to him now, how are you going to make it in heaven? It's all about God. It's all about God. That's where our hunger has to come in. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is very silent, like the gentle dove. We pray and we don't feel his presence, but silence is not an indication that he's absent. The dove is still there. Our job is faithfulness, not self-pity or self-righteousness. God may pass us by to use someone else, but our job is still to be faithful regardless. Sooner or later, if we keep ourselves open to God, the dove will find a resting place. You know, when the dove lit on the shoulder of Jesus, it reminds me of the time that Noah sent out a dove. Because a dove would not land on anything that was filthy. Would not settle on anything that was carnage or a dead body or anything of that nature. And so the dove found no place to rest, and he kept sending that dove out until it didn't come back anymore, because as we said before, that's the nature of the dove. It will not come back. And I believe all through history, that dove has been looking for a place, had been looking for a place to land its foot. Did not find it in great men, even though they were great men, righteous men. Did not find it in King David. Did not find it in Solomon. Did not find it in Jonah. Did not find it in the three Hebrew children. Did not find it in Daniel. Did not find it in the great heroes of the faith. But finally, the day came when he found a place. He lit on the shoulder of Jesus. And that dove is still looking for a place to land. And he finds it when Jesus is inside of us. When Jesus is inside of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the dove of the Spirit, don't you? I want his presence more than anything else. Hallelujah. The love looks for Jesus in your life. Ultimately, we have to want the Holy Spirit. I often say, I want the hungriest person to come forward in my services. I believe something happens to people because I pray and ask God that it will happen. I believe something happens to people and all of a sudden it just bursts on them. I saw people last Sunday just run to the altar. I'm talking about running to the altar. And I often ask and say, I want the hungriest person here to run to the altar. And people all of a sudden, they had no intention of doing it, come running. Two grown men came running about this time last year. Two grown men came running to the front, just running. And I laid my hands up on them, and both of them fell and started speaking with other tongues. I was in Brazoria, Texas, and there was a new convert. I love new converts. A new convert. And man, he had hair all the way down his back, and he had, you know, all the trappings of somebody that just got saved, and he was hungry. He came running when I gave the invitation, and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. He had never been filled before. God baptized him with the Holy Spirit. When people are hungry, I was in a church and I said, I want the hungriest person here to come. And the first one to run to the altar was the pastor. He just started sobbing before God. What I want to do, if I can, is to stir up hunger this week. I want to get you so hungry for God that you wouldn't stay home if you could. You wouldn't stay home to watch the World Series or whatever's going on. You want to stay home for anything because you want to be near God this week. I'm asking God that he'll give us hunger. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to give hunger. You look like you're hungry. This lady looked like she's hungry. I believe you're hungry. Jesus. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to give us hunger this morning. We're tired of pigeon religion. We're tired of just doing it the normal way. We want to do it God's way for a change. We want to hear from God. And we want to quit excusing ourselves if there's anything in our lives that shouldn't be there. We want to quit excusing ourselves, Lord Jesus, for being too busy to pray, for being too busy to seek God, for being too busy to memorize Scripture, to get it in our hearts and our lives, for being too busy, for going to church when we get ready, then obeying God and doing it whether we feel like it or not. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to move upon people this morning, that there will be repentance, Lord. We can't have revival unless there's repentance. We can't have revival unless there's hunger. I'm asking you, Lord, to fill everybody that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm asking that every person in this building be touched by the mighty power of God. Oh God, forgive us for pigeon religion and help us this morning to hear what the dove is saying. Move upon us. I bind every devil of hell, every demon of darkness. I bind every power that opposes us. And I believe you, Lord Jesus, for what you want to see in this service this morning. I'm asking you for the glory of God. I'm asking you for the glory of God, the manifest glory of God, where people just want to stay. They can't leave. They're knocked out on the floor like the young man that was filled with the Holy Ghost, the pastor's son that had never been filled with the Holy Ghost and was there until 1:30 in the morning because he couldn't leave under the power of God. Move once again in our churches, Lord Jesus. Oh God, until we hunger for God more than we do anything else. Everybody stand. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want everybody to pray this prayer. Pray it honestly and sincerely before God. Everybody in the place. Hallelujah. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. We must first cleanse ourselves. The temple of God must be cleansed for the bride to come in. Now I want everybody to pray this prayer. Pray it out loud. Heavenly Father, I desire your touch. I'm tired of pigeon religion. I want the sweet dove of the Spirit to move in my heart. Forgive me, Lord, if there's anything in my life that displeases you. Set me free. Cleanse me. God, I'm tired of excuses. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my mother's fault. It's not my father's fault. It's not anybody's fault but mine. I need you. I need your touch. In Jesus' name, move upon me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. The only music I want is just a worship music, just somebody playing, no singing, just a worship music. Hallelujah. I want hungry people to come. I want you to come running to the altar now, 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 now. Come running, come running, come running. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You're hungry, you're hungry, you're hungry. Come running, come running, come running. Come running. All over the building. Come running. Come running. Hallelujah. Come running. Come running. If you're really hungry, you're really hungry. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, this is a moment. This is a moment. This is a moment. I haven't even talked about it. But the Holy Spirit can come over you and give you a language you never learned. If words come to your mind, you start speaking them out. He won't speak for you. He just gives you words. If you're here and you've got a need, I believe when you say, God, I want you more than anything else, He's going to supply that need. I believe He's going to touch people, going to heal people, going to work miracles. But it's all about getting to know Him. It's all about going after God. It's all about being...